Are you curious about bodies, pleasure, and possibilities? And what about curious about what others are up to on the planet when it comes to pleasure, sex, and play? Have you considered what pleasure can do for your life, your body, and your bank account? Do you know something magical, delightful, and out of this world orgasmic is not only possible for you, but totally available to you? If you're ready to be the magical, sexual, sexy beast you know you can be, and you just need the tools to get there, you're in the right place. Now, here is the host of The Pleasure Zone, sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, and holistic health practitioner, Milica Jelinic.
Welcome, my sweet pleasure seekers. So tonight we are talking about that awkward time in life where sometimes the love and the desire and all the fun gets out of relationships. It's like when the good sex disappears, vanishes, walks away. We will be talking about that today. Why do I talk about these things? That's probably what some of you are like, hey, you're not like, make-upped up and looking overly sexified and blah, blah, blah. I get that actually, because people comment that sometimes. I'm like, yeah, my brains don't really have anything to do with my knowledge. But, you know, some days I wear lipstick to make you guys feel better about that. But one of the reasons why I talk about this is because it is a field of interest for me. And I began studying psychology in university. And then one of the things, it ended up leading me to just find that kind of my niche interest has to do with human sexuality. So I studied more, I learned more. I also, in my life, studied a lot of different things around holistic health practices. So I do somatic body work. I do a lot of different things that are kind of new and out there and unusual. And I found that in my practice, my daily practice with my clients, is that a lot of people were coming in and were having relationship issues at the very core of what's going on. And a lot of times when we can work on those relationship issues, and a lot of times those relationship issues have to do with money or sex, so I'm here to help you out with the sex part, is that as those heal, the relationships can either heal or they dissolve. Either way, they change. And that can often lead to a lot more awareness, but also a lot more healing. So that's why I do what I do. Over the last 12 years, I have talked about a multitude of things. I have actually talked about, you know, disappearing sex before, disappearing sex drive before. But, you know, there's always like new information that comes out and new thoughts come to mind. So happy to share more ideas with you guys. And if you look back on my episodes, you're going to find that everything will range from the psychology to the history, the mystery, the anthropology, the sociology, like every perspective we could possibly take on sex and intimacy, I go there. And if there is, when you're looking through my topic, something that you feel like I've never talked about, I would love to know that. I would love to know what it is, and then I'd love to dive into that. And I've had people actually tell me in the past what those things are. In fact, I think one of the most unusual ones that I had as a recommend was a kink about belly buttons. And I was ever so grateful that somebody wrote to me about their kink about belly buttons, and I did an entire episode on that. So if you write to me, if you have curiosities, if you'd like to know more, if you'd like to just have me talk about a certain topic, you can always write to me through my website, milicajelinic.com, to connect with me, and I'd be happy to do that. So the big question we're asking today is, why does good sex disappear? If it's so good, why is it going away? And we're going to look at things that, you know, are, you know, the big C blockers. I think I can say that word. I don't know if it'll get like bleeped or if we'll get in trouble, but we'll call it the passion killers. What are the passion killers that erase your sex drive? There are more than you probably can imagine. And a lot of them are so silent that we don't even realize it. And just like any way that we would prevent ourselves from having pleasure, this is going to be not just about sex. You're probably going to find that these these different things will relate to even friendships you've had or different scenarios in your life where you're like, you know what? Oh yeah, that all I had that happen at work, or I had that happen in a friendship. They can be very relative, but for today, we're just really sticking it to the topic of why good sex disappears. And why would it do that if, you know, your relationship burned with passion in the beginning? So when something burns with passion and there's like so much heat and fire at the start, and you've got all the hormones running and everything's like on super high, sometimes that'll just fizzle out. Number one, it's because it's like running a marathon. And when you're running a marathon, you need to take a break. You also need to train on how to keep that kind of level of intensity going. So passion can burn out for a few reasons. Our bodies need to actually build up to that. We will probably get to that conversation as well. I'm a big fan of sex is a skill. Yes, you can have some innate capacity for knowing certain body parts, but it's a sex is a skill you can develop. And it's also like running is a skill you can develop. Yes, you might be born with that talent as well. And some of us are not born with the talent of running, but born with the talent of sex, and we develop that and, you know, create even more a robust talent and a skill. So when we look at this as how do we maintain something, is that we continually build and grow and have it as a daily practice. I think that's something to keep in mind. And it doesn't mean that you're having sex every day, but you can have and keep the sex of the energy of sex, whether that's flirtation or just intimacy in general. We're going to use sex as an umbrella for this show, not necessarily, or for this episode, not just for the act of sex. So as the umbrella of like intimacy and connection and all of that, it's a daily practice. So we will talk about that and how those silent killers can kick in and destroy that. We can talk about how sometimes when you just get a little bit too comfortable with each other, that can just kill the entirety of the good sex as well. And certain habits that can kill the sex drive. And then we're going to look at how we can reignite that sexual energy. But we also need to look at how do we know when it cannot be reignited? Like there's no more embers left in that fire. There's nothing else to stoke the fire. There's no kindling left. There's no wood left. If you guys aren't getting my fire metaphors, it's like I actually build fires. That's how we heat our house in the winter. So, you know, there's a lot of components you need to have a good fire that burns well and that you keep it stoked and you keep it burning. So I might be using some more of my fireplace metaphors while we talk, because we have to keep our fires going on a regular basis to keep our house hot, keep it warm, and keep everything running. So, in our very first segment, we're going to talk about, I renamed it, and I'm going to say this word once, the cock blockers you didn't expect. So, these are these things that fizzle away, the silent killers of desire. And the one thing about good sex is that if sex started out good, the chances are that it didn't just disappear overnight one night. The chances are that the sex that you thought was great or good started to disappear over small things like, I'm too tired tonight. Let's try it in like 5 days. And then those 5 days go by and then nothing happens. Or, you know, it could sometimes the good sex disappears, not even from the lack of having sex. The good sex can disappear from the lack of connection to each other. So it can be, you know, it can be kind of chipped away every day. It can be things that you don't even realize are happening. It can be things like resentments. And I talked about resentments first because I think I've experienced that probably the most of many of the other things I'll be talking about when, you know, when we're chipping away at good sex. But resentment can definitely build. And I know in many of my past relationships, I would see resentments build and I didn't really know how to deal with it. I was like, I resent them. I resent the situation. I resent that I'm going to therapy and they're not, so I'm dealing with my stuff and the other person is not. And then I'd get frustrated, resent them for not growing or not growing as much as I was growing, because I had defined how much growth they could do or weren't doing or whatever. It's a wee bit judgy, but anyhow. And so in those times of resentment, or like resenting things like, yeah, I just cleaned the entire house and then you walked in with dirty boots, like, thanks. Those kind of resentments, or like, I'm doing the laundry every time and you're not doing any. And then there's resentment for that, right? So it's like, if you've developed resentment because you're doing and being everything for, being the martyr, and you're not saying anything to stop that, and you've not communicated your desires outside of, being stuck in your resentment. Resentment builds, and then, they might want sex from you, but you're like, how about you go screw yourself? Because I'm not interested. I just cleaned the house for 5 hours and you didn't help, not one bit. So you get to be punished. The resentments can lead to like punishing the person to not have sex. So I did that as quite pro at punishing. And then there was at a point where I was like, why am I punishing this person so much? And then I realized I actually didn't want to be with them. I realized before that I didn't want to be with them, but then I felt obligated. And I'm just thinking of one person in particular, because I felt like I needed to stay with somebody just because I birthed their child. And then I had this delusion where it was like, well, I had a child with somebody. Who else is going to ever want to be with me? They planted the seed in my brain for that. Mind you, they really did a good job planting the seed of like, well, who's going to even want to be with you when, you have a kid? So they did a good planting job. They did a good like manipulation job. The resentments were huge. The resentments around finances, the resentments around chores, the resentments around everything that was like, grow up and be an adult. Like, why do I have to tell you to do things when you're an adult? Those were huge and frustrating. So frustrating. So at some point, it's just like, I just want to punish you with no sex. Whatever you want, I don't want to give you. Whatever would make you happy, I want to make you suffer. And then it gets ugly, right? And the relationship often can't come back from that level of it's like the you're dueling. I'm thinking dueling banjos, because in the last few days my husband's been really into wanting to listen to the dueling banjos. He's not a little duck. But yeah, the resentments can build, and then the punishing can happen. And unless you find that kind of punishing sexy, and that's like agreed on, and that is like, your way of play, and you're doing, consensual non-consent, that's a whole other kind of topic there. But I don't know where that East Coast America accent came from there for a hot second. I just channeled somebody from upstate New York. I'm not from upstate New York. Anyhow, so the resentments, they build and they build. And then what do we do with them? We wallow in them often, and we don't even know how to resolve it. And sometimes we don't want to. So some of the biggest, we'll call them cock blockers, fire taker outers, are our own ways of being with things, like holding on to resentments and not knowing how to change it. Repeatedly communicating your needs and not having them met, that'll also lead to resentments. Gaslighting is, that's eventually, once you catch it and you start to resent it, you just want to get the heck out. There's a lot of reasons why we would end up feeling like, the fire is disappearing and these habits are ongoing. And then, so that unresolved resentment is huge. And then, like I was saying, I didn't have the communication skills to discuss that with the person. And then also, after I'd had my child, so for me, there was also body image issues. And I was exhausted and stressed, financially stressed to the max. I was exhausted. I was having body image issues, mostly because I was with somebody who preferred Asian women, and I don't know if you guys have seen me, but I'm not Asian. So to be compared to an Asian body type all the time was not fun. It was probably like the worst time for me, body image wise. Although looking back on essays, no, letters that I'd written to my friend. I don't know if you guys listened to that episode about a month ago with my friend from high school, Kelly. I had a lot of body issues then, body image issues, but not the way I had them after I had my child. I was just really feeling like crap. But I also knew that I was constantly being compared to a body type I will never have. I am a 5'11 European, Balkan, half like Scottish person that will never have an Asian body. So having somebody make you feel bad for that all the time is shit. And then you resent them and you don't want to give them anything. So that's me from my personal perspective on how the little things can add up over time, and then you just like kills the sex drive. And some of those things can be things that you'll never resolve. And that's, we'll also be talking about like, how do you know when it's over and you will never resolve it? So you're listening to the Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinich, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinich, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for the Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is the Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinich. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email. info@MilicaJelinich.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Tonight we're talking about why good sex dies. Why it disappears. Dies would have been a good word for that title too. Anyhow, disappears. Sometimes it can feel like it dies. So for those of you who've been in relationships where like the sex component dies, in the last segment, I talked about resentments and different components that over time build up. And then those little things, as little as like chipping away and eventually start chipping away. You chip away at a really, really well-built marble statue, but you chip away at it long enough, you're going to crack that in half. You're just going to crack pieces off of it, like big pieces. It's not going to be repairable. So when I say like the resentments in the last segment, I was saying like the resentments can build up so much, and then the punishing each other back and forth. And it's like, you might resent somebody, so you withhold sex, which happens a lot in relationships. You resent somebody, you withhold sex, or you withhold one of their favorite love languages. And then they resent you. And then the resentment is like a tumbleweed and just grows and grows and grows. And it's chipping away at that, which was your relationship. Eventually those pieces will fall off. It will never be the same, because even if you tried to put those pieces back on, it's going to be obvious that there were cracks. So we're looking at like, why does good sex go away? Good sex often goes away because we fail to catch the things right in the beginning when they start to chip away. It's like, oh, there's an issue. Let's address it now rather than waiting 6 months and then the resentments have built up. For me personally, that's something I've had to learn how to do. I wasn't like born confident enough to say what I needed and how I needed it and when I needed it and all that jazz. And having a relationship that feels safe has helped me be able to speak up about my needs. But we're going to talk about how sometimes a relationship that is super safe and comfortable can also be detrimental. And that can lead to boredom and that can kill good sex as well. So there's a level of safety required where you know that your partner is there for you, where you know that you can say things to them and have conversations with them that go to places that are maybe very uncomfortable. And having those conversations that are uncomfortable are actually what creates even greater intimacy. So it depends. Well, depends for some people. They want to talk about things that. So if you want to talk about things with your partner and your partner's not comfortable hearing it, then it's always good to have a safe word. So my friend, CEO of this company, actually, when I was talking about safe words and kink, she took that one other level higher and she started to use it in conversations. And so I love that idea of using safe words, even for conversations, not just for the acts of sex. So if there is something that's going on and you're like, you know what, that's red for me, I don't want to talk about it. So that can be really helpful. I actually recently heard that there's a like a daycare around here that instead of using the word no, they call it a red behavior. And I'm like, what kind of kinky dom runs this place? Because she's using like kink language to raise these kids. Anyhow, it works. The red, green, yellow, because they are stoplights. And anyhow, it is kind of funny because we're not allowed to say no to kids anymore. Anyhow, moving right along about the why comfort can become the enemy. Ugh, isn't that sad? Because sometimes we just want to get in that comfort mode and it can become the enemy of sex. What it can do is create a great friendship with your partner. And then, you know, that can open up to the trust to be able to have a conversation about, hey, have you noticed that our sex life is diminished? So there can be a level of comfort that also invites intimacy, but comfort doesn't always equal intimacy, but intimacy can be both uncomfortable and comfortable. So we can look at that, all of that too. So when you are overly comfortable and you just don't even care about growth or care to say what's bothering you, you're just like, nah, this is fine. Everything's great the way it is. No need to discuss anything. I'm fine. Then usually that's only for one person in the relationship. And the other person is like, that's great and all that you're all comfortable, but I'm looking for growth over here and I'm looking for something different and I'm looking for change. And they're like, yeah, no, I like it just the way it is. They often, too, the people who are liking it just the way it is, do have a great big fear of change, or they have like a fear of the future, what the future holds. So they like to create predictability in the present so that they can have more of a sense of safety to be able to live in, like just feeling safer. So, and safety is great. We need that. We need our nervous systems to be regulated so that we can heal and grow. But the routine can become mundane and we can get so bored, and it can lead to, like, when people get bored, they often will seek outside of the relationship for something to stimulate them. So whether they're looking for another lover or they're looking at porn, they're looking at a connection in some way. And the reason for that is because our brain craves connection and it also craves novelty. So if we're craving connection and the person is just like, they're kind of just existing and you're not feeling their presence like deeply and you're not taking the time to just have those conversations that are maybe uncomfortable or to discuss the fact that everything feels mundane. And then the brain craving novelty, because the brain craves novelty because new things create new neural connections. And then it's like your brain is firing because new neural connections create like a firing in the brain, which is very exciting. So as we learn things as well, our brains fire off. But novelty is part of that learning. So trying out new things. And if we're not trying out new things, then the brain becomes stagnant and it's bored. And then because it requires novelty to keep firing and giving us happy hormones for like growth, then it's going to look for different resources for that. So you might find that you have end up having a wandering eye, whether you go out and have an affair, or whether you have emotional affairs, or whether you're like into porn, anything that's stimulating you to give you new ideas. That can often happen, and it's quite common. So want to look at how do you create novelty in the relationship you're already in, unless, of course, and this is a different scenario, but unless, of course, you're in an open marriage or you're in a polyamorous relationship that is open to you having novelty, bringing somebody new in, then that's a different scenario altogether. And those kind of relationships that are non-monogamous have a whole different set of, I will say, like rules or, yeah, rules for now. That's a good word for it. So under the monogamous kind of zone, where usually this is where, but not always, because you can have stalemates even when you're in a polyamorous relationship, and then usually that gets resolved in a different way, but it's the same but different way. But if you're looking at a monogamous relationship, then the boredom often kicks in due to comfort. It's like everything's the same, the sex is the same, every day is the same, you wake up, the routine is the same. And it's helpful to have somebody in the relationship not really like routines. And I'm that person. I am not a routine person. My husband is the king of routines. He wakes up pretty much the same time every day. He has his thing he does every morning, and he loves his routine. He's dedicated to his routine. And I'm the little troublemaker that comes along and destroys his routines. And he doesn't get mad at me for it. I know that on some level he like actually enjoys the change, but it's not in his nature to create that change. It's in my nature to constantly create change. Although we all in our nature do change, some of us actively go out seeking and creating it. I'm one of those people who actively seeks out to create change because I like the novelty of new things. So on a routine day, I might just be like, hey, we've got 35 minutes. We could either get it on, we could go do this, we could go do that, we could, like, I will throw out ideas. And sometimes he'll be tired and not want to do it, but oftentimes he'll be like, oh, yeah, okay, we got 35 minutes. I'm like, yeah, we got 35 minutes. Take your pants off, my friend. You are getting a blowjob right here and now. And he'll be like, oh, all right then. Unless it's one of those days where he's like, I'm really sweaty, can I have a shower first? And I'm like, yeah, that's decent of you. So creating novelty is helpful, because if you're in the rut and you're always doing the same thing, and it's like, hey, it's Tuesday afternoon and it's 1 o'clock, let's meet for our rendezvous. That can be helpful in some instances when your lives are so scheduled that you need to schedule sex, but that routineness of it too can become so mundane. You can have that time slot, say, if you need that. If you need to schedule sex, at least make it fun every time. Make it a little different every time. Don't be like doing exactly the same thing every single time. Like, okay, get naked, stimulate this, do that, flip over, up against the wall, whatever. So if it's always exactly the same and you can almost like time it to the minute of when your body's going to be like, okay, flip over, that becomes boring. Incredibly boring. And at some point you're just going to be like, yeah, don't even bother, I've already done this. Your body will be like, yeah, I've already done it, let's try something else. And I've already done it, I don't even want to bother. So that can often happen. And people will quite frequently mistake intimacy, because they feel so close to their partner, they'll mistake what true intimacy is, and they'll think that the comfort that they're having and the staleness that they're having, the stagnation, is intimacy. But to really have great intimacy, you need a lot more than that. You need to have the intention to be intentional about having fun and playfulness, and that you need to be able to fuel desire. You need to be able to fuel the desire to be with each other, to make life interesting together, but also fuel sexual desire. So you're not becoming stagnant. Like stagnant water, think about it this way. Stagnant waters are where like diseases breed. Right? We don't want those stagnant waters. And if our emotions are like akin to water, say esoterically, we don't want to have our emotions stagnant. Yes, sometimes still waters can actually run really deep and there's like a current underneath that's cleaning and moving things, but things look all calm on the front. But what I'm talking about like a stale puddle that's growing stuff. We don't want that. We want there to be emotion. We want there to be excitement. Even if sometimes there's an argument, as long as there's the ability to resolve it, that can also contribute to growth and creating new neural connections and then also creating deeper intimacy. We're going to head to our next commercial break. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly, other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Whew, it's a hot one. I don't know if you were just watching on video, but I just did my hair in front of y'all. Yes, I did. Anyway, it's stinking hot here. And how do we keep the heat in the relationship? That's what I wanted to segue into. How do we keep the heat and the desire and the fire burning in the relationship rather than outside? Outside the house where it's too hot to even talk about. One of the things we need to do is look at how do couples who actually have functional relationships and really good sex lives that last, what are they doing that's different than the people who have sex lives that fizzle out? Well, one of the things they're doing is they're grabbing my book. That's right. They're grabbing The Pleasure Zone. Absolutely. It's a guide for curious pleasure seekers. They're using this book as a tool to enhance their love life. Absolutely, they are. There are great tools in here. There are also free resources. So go grab my book off of Amazon. You can get it in ebook, you can get it in hardcover, you can get it in softcover. If you want a copy that is signed, I have a handful right now on hand that you'd have to write to me personally for prices and for shipping. But if you'd like a signed copy, let me know. All right. So we are talking about what are those successful couples doing that's different than the ones whose sex lives are fading out? The couples who have a successful sex life, some of them have breaks in time where they don't actually see each other. So the desire is greater. So I'm talking about like people who don't necessarily live together, people who are maybe even living in different parts of the world and don't actually get to see each other that often. So when they are together, it's really intense. So when my husband and I first started dating and we didn't see each other that often, and we would get like one night a week when I would have like somebody to look after my kid, The sex was insane. It was also because we had like an entire week of buildup where we hadn't seen each other. And we were younger. Not that that makes a difference, but we were younger. We had the excitement of the newness. We had all of this stuff going on, right? Now, the crazy thing is, the sex hasn't actually changed. But what it has happened, and I'll be the first one to admit this, what happened in the first few years is we were having the great sex all the time. And so that great sex became like mundane because it was all the time. So when you have the great sex all the time, sometimes you need to ramp it up, do something different, or take a break from it so that your body craves it even more. So originally, when I was looking at that going, did the sex change? The sex actually didn't change. The desire for each other did not actually change. What happened was, it's like if you're having great cake every single day of your life, then it's like, yeah, here's some more great cake. Ah, here's some more great cake. Oh, that's great. But then you go to eat some crappy cake and you're like, oh, I remember what that actually, that cake was really great. So sometimes, even for me, just being able to like coach other people, and I can go, oh wow, you know what? Wow, that is a scenario that wouldn't work for me, but man, am I lucky to have the cake I have. And that can bring back like the desire for the cake I have. And so yeah, there's different ways that you could start to recognize that maybe the great sex you had is actually still the same sex you're having. It's just that you've been doing the same sex for a while and now you want to change that. And the cool thing for me is that I'm constantly researching things. I'm always looking at, I'm doing sex research almost daily. So I'm always looking at new ideas, things that are popping on the internet, things that are popping on my feed. And I'm like, hey, let's look at this. Let's try this out. What about this? What about that? And so, because I'm the one who likes the change and I like to create the change, I will often bring these ideas forward. So if you're the initiator and you're the person who enjoys the change, then you're going to be the one doing it. And yes, it might suck because you're friggin' tired of being the one who does it. But the truth is, if you're the one who's good at it, then just do it. Like, why fight what you're good at? My husband's really good at doing the accounting, and so if he gets bored of that someday and he's like, I'm really sick of doing the accounting, well, I'll have to take over. It's not my favorite thing, but he's good at it, and I'm the one that's really good at doing other things, like bringing ideas to the table when it comes to our sex and intimacy life. So grab my book. Can't reiterate, there's lots of great ideas in there. But for one thing, recognize that maybe you're still having great sex. It's just that you've been having the same great sex for so long, it's become mundane. Maybe you had great sex and maybe it did change. And maybe it went from super passionate to be like, like, hey, you used to have foreplay for like an hour, and now I have no foreplay. You don't even remember what my nipples look like. And maybe that's what's happening, and that can be disappointing for sure. So in order to bring back the fire and bring back the desire, first you need to know a few things. Like, what would you actually like? Would you like your partner to flirt with you? Would you like Because flirting can be an amazing way to have foreplay for sure. So flirting is a top foreplay method, and you can flirt in all your own ways. I flirt in the weirdest ways. I've mentioned this before, but I'm a big ass grabber. I will grab my husband's ass whenever he walks by. He will often do the same to me, and we flirt also in the weirdest ways because we're both nerds. And I will just say ridiculous things to him. And if I don't, then he knows I'm having a day of it. Like, if he says something, oh, like, I'm just, I, he's never said this particular thing, but let's just say we're in the grocery store. He's like, oh, look at marshmallows. And I would say, oh, you're my little marshmallow. I'll say ridiculous things like that, which always makes him giggle. Yes, he's in his 60s and he's a dude who's in construction and he giggles at my silliness. Because that's how we connect. So you just need to know how you guys connect. And it might not be sexy to other people, but as long as it works for you and your partnership to keep you guys connected and laughing and enjoying each other's company, that's what's important. And also looking at how you can grow your attraction to each other. So what are you doing to help yourself feel more attractive so that you can be more, you can be that energy in front of your partner so you can feel attractive in front of your partner? And do you actually prioritize flirting with your partner? Do you prioritize wanting to be with them? Do you prioritize sex with your partner in any way? Do you ever have discussions about fantasies? Like, what's your most outrageous fantasy? Have you ever talked about your big ask, like the one thing you're really scared to do or try, but, you know, maybe one day in this lifetime you might try it, you might not. It could just remain a fantasy, but it's kind of a cool thing to talk about. I have known people too who have talked about their fantasies and it's actually led to breakups. That does happen, and that's usually in relationships where one person is very insecure and or thinks that they have to fulfill the fantasy for the person when the person's like, it's just a fantasy. I'm just telling you what I think about when I masturbate. It doesn't mean that that's what I want to do. It just means that I think about it. And then also one of the things to keep great sex alive is to have really good boundaries. Like, don't look at your partner's phone and see who's contacting them. Don't look into their private information. Have boundaries. Have boundaries with their life. If they're on a phone call, don't interrupt and like interfere and talk over them. Like, there's so many boundaries we could talk about that I've had people do to me that I found so freaking annoying and were like so many boundary crossings that have had been such a turnoff. And I can tell you, like, being followed to your workplace is not sexy. Having your phone checked is not sexy. Having somebody, you know, check your phone line because they happen to have access to listening in on you, that's not sexy. None of that's sexy. So how do you keep great sex alive? Is to trust each other, to have boundaries, to talk about the things that turn you on, to talk about your needs, even your needs that aren't just your sexual needs, but like your needs in life. Like, I need some space. I need to be able to go do A, B, C, and D. I'd like to go do A, B, C, and D on my own. I'd like to go do A, B, C, and D with you. And then looking at how, if you really have like super busy lives, like I was saying before, if you have super busy lives and you have to schedule, even though that can become boring, if you have to schedule sex, at least make the sex interesting. And one of the ways to do that is to go grab my do's, don'ts, maybes list off my website, which is mielitsayelenich.com. It has some pretty vanilla ideas in there, but it can at least get you somewhere to get started on your Tuesday afternoon meetups for your lover in you. And it could be even just like, okay, let's have oral sex in the kitchen rather than like oral sex in the bedroom. Or let's have oral sex with a dildo in your butt at the same time. Like, you can just add things in there. Like, there, I don't know if that's vanilla to you guys. That's pretty vanilla to me, but they're pretty standard. So there's like things in there that are locations, actions. Oh, do I have that list in there? Maybe it's a little different, but yeah. They're like, the idea would be to like grab five locations that you'd like to want to try and have sex in, five different sex acts you'd like to do, say oral, you can be different positions as well, anal, whatever, throw it all out there. And then maybe you want to have other things involved, accessories like blindfolds, butt plugs, vibrators, lube, I don't know, throw it all in there, right? So five of each, put it in a hat, pull one of those each out. And then if you are scheduling sex, bring those to the forefront and then have fun with that, because that can help bring a little play into the whole what might feel like routine, right? So if it's feeling routine, like, okay, every Tuesday afternoon at 1, we're doing this, and you want to have a little bit more fun with it, bring out the ideas. If you don't have any, bring out the ideas and make it fun. Especially if it's things that you both agree on. So if you both put in five locations, five acts, and five like additional accessories that you could be using, there's a lot of combination of ideas that you can come up with just to keep things going. And that's part of the reigniting desire as well. So we are going to talk about that in the next segment. But I really want to emphasize that the couples who have great sex and they can keep great sex alive, they're not just lucky. It's not just like something like, wow, they're just the lucky ones. They just happened to find the right people. No, what they did was they learned how to communicate. They're curious. They're also playful. So their curiosity and playfulness come together. They're connected to each other and they're consenting. So they've got the four C's in place. And when they have that, they can, the attraction can grow, and then the relationship can grow, and you can have honest conversations about all your things that you would like to have without fear. The thing is, so many people are afraid to say what they want, yet if you just freaking say it, and if you need to practice saying it, you can connect with me and practice saying it to another human being. That might be helpful. Connect with me through my website, mielitsayelenich.com. You can grab that do's, don'ts, maybes list for free on there. And you can also set up a, I think I still have it on there, 15 minutes free to have a meeting with me. We're going to head to our next commercial break. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network. We'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Mielitsa Jelenich, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Mielitsa Jelenich, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Mielitsa every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Mielitsa Jelenich. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MielitsaJelenich.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome, my sweet pleasure seekers. Today, the big question is, we're looking at when good sex just dies, when it basically goes away, fizzles, and it's a sad thing, but it happens. It can happen, and it doesn't have to happen. So when good sex disappears, we've talked about some of the things that might be contributing to that, like the ongoing everyday things that niggle and poke and keep you keep at you until you finally are like, yeah, no, I'm not interested in having sex with you. And maybe never again, because there's no growth happening. And then we also looked at how comfort can kill desire as well, like being too comfortable, not really wanting to try new things or get curious or experiment, or just feeling like this is fine the way it is, not looking for anything to rock the boat. But the couples who are the most successful, as we looked at in the last segment, we find that what they're doing is they're prioritizing having those times in their life where they can be very fully present with each other, where they can play through flirtation, through sex, through just daily acts of play. And they can have honest conversations about things without feeling like the relationship is just going to explode. And if you are in a place where you feel like you want to have these honest conversations, but you're also afraid that your partner will just walk away or the whole thing will blow up, and you want to practice those conversations first, you can always connect with me to practice those conversations first. You can also just truly go for it, right? You can just go, you know what? What have I got to lose? This is already not working that much. Why don't I just ask for what I desire and see what happens? If it's already not working so great and you're like, what have I got to lose here? I might as well ask for more playful regular sex. I want to throw in this A, B, C, and D. How do you feel about that? And if you don't know how to have the conversations about how to have, or how, you know, what you'd like and what you'd like to add, go over to my website, get my do's, don'ts, maybes list. It's one that you can download for free. You can make many copies if you want, share them with your friends, friends and lovers, whoever you're having these conversations with, spouse, whatever. So get these, get this information, go through the list, share the list with the person. In case you're too uncomfortable talking about it, you can share the list and you can each read the list. Now, if you need somebody to mediate that conversation about the list, that's where I can come in and help you out. So again, you can connect with me through my website to do that, melitzayelenich.com. But you can also just look at that list and see how comfortable are you even saying some of the words on that list. Because if you're not even comfortable saying the things, it might be really hard to ask for them and have the conversation. So what do we want to do? We want to reignite desire without like, I'm just waiting for my hormones to kick in. I'm waiting for that phase in my cycle to like scream at me, go do it, girlfriend. But how do you just have desire for your partner? So for me, what I do is I look for all the things I'm grateful for. And I just, it became such a habit to do that, that like on a regular basis, I will go to bed and I'm just super grateful, A, that my husband's alive. Man, I can tell you that so much right now, because a friend of mine, her husband just died out of the blue. And she's not much older than me. And so, so grateful that my husband is alive. So grateful that that he chooses to be with me. So grateful that we choose to create a life together. There's so many things I'm grateful for with him. And that gratitude can help build desire. It's like, it also helps build calm in the nervous system, so you can be calm and turned on at the same time, to where when you're grateful for somebody, when you're grateful for someone, how much do you want to just please them? Whether it's please them by like doing things to make them happy, or please them like pleasure. If you've ever noticed, like pleasure has kind of the root of please in it. So how much do you want to just pleasure your partner, to create pleasure between the two of you when you're grateful for them? So you don't have to wait for the mood. You can find ways to invite the mood into your life. And you need to like always be connecting to what it is that you A, love about you in the presence of your partner, because you need to also have gratitude for you, so that you're not just being a people pleaser, but having gratitude for you, having gratitude for your partner, having gratitude for all the things you've done together, and reconnecting in different ways. So reconnecting, maybe you're going to go on dates to different places than you've ever gone before. Maybe you're going to go to places that you went to when you first started dating, and you're like, oh, you know what, it's been so long, let's go back and like talk about all the memories. And then that brings up like fun, playful remembrances, as long as the relationship wasn't filled with abuse. Because if it was filled with abuse and you're bringing back the abuse, that's just going to be hard. But if the relationship was filled with abuse, it's probably time to look at that. Probably time to move on, unless you've both healed incredibly a lot and can manage that. But also letting go of things like performance pressure. So it's like, you don't have to have intercourse every time you want to have a fun, playful experience with your partner. It could literally be just chasing each other around the house and grabbing ass. That can be fun. I don't know, I find it fun. It doesn't have to be serious. It can literally just be playful, exploratory. I don't know, we even have like an ATV. So sometimes it's just fun to go on an ATV ride with my husband, because, you know, he's like a little teenager on that thing. And then I turn into a little teenager on that thing. And we're just like ripping through the forest on our ATV, having fun. So it just depends on what, who you are and what really lights your fire and what gets you excited to be with that person and hang out, even just doing what might seem mundane, but can be such an invitation to being so much more than that. So I think one of the things we really got to remember is, when do you need to walk away, right? So you need to walk away when there's been abuse, when you've been gaslit, when there's been ongoing stuff and the sex life.
Thank you for choosing to listen to The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. We'll return next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central,
6 p.m. Mountain Time and 5 p.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. We hope you'll join us. Until then, have the best week of your life by choosing to be turned on and tuned in to your body.